Buffalo Springs to be back and see so few people here. But it's also different than sitting at my desk on Sunday morning at home and preparing at this time. As far as announcements go, we don't have really a lot of announcements because there's not much going on besides what we're doing. If you have not gotten an invitation from me for Wednesday night Bible studies on Zoom and you would like to get an invitation so that you can attend on Wednesday night, I have been able to record them and they're put up on our Facebook page so that you can watch them later, just the Bible study part, not the prayer meeting part. But if you would like to attend them on Wednesday night, please just send me an email. And if you will do that, I'll make sure that you get an invitation for being there on Wednesday night. We're going to continue to do that on Wednesday nights for a while that way. I don't see any opportunity for us opening the church other than this way for the foreseeable future right now. So we're just going to take it week by week and see what happens. I am aware of the fact that in the past month that cases, active cases in our county has more than doubled in the past month. At the beginning of June, or at the beginning of July, let me get my months ready. At the beginning of July, there were 14 active cases. When I looked last night, there are over 50 active cases now. So I just encourage you to be careful and to make sure that you're doing everything to stay safe. When I talk and preach, I'm going to take my mask off because I know there's some people that watching lips helps them. And so that's why I'll take my mask off at that time. What we want to do, and here's what I want to say to you as we leave today, please go out this way and make sure as you go outside the door that you step far enough away from the door that you can be 6 foot from other people that are trying to come out the door, okay? Because if you stop right outside to talk to somebody, then other people can't come out the door. So please continue to walk on outside. I want to say thank you to Chris because he has gotten folks together for cleaning the sanctuary afterwards. The sanctuary will be clean before we meet again. That's one of the things that we have to do if we're going to continue to be. So I want to just say thank you for being here. And I know Gary is up there. If you can't be here, Gary is going to try to make sure that we have it streaming live on Facebook each week. He's got about three cameras focused at me right now on a microphone, so I'm not sure which one I'm supposed to look at. Unfortunately, that is pointing to. But if you can't be here or you want to watch it later during the week, it should be on Facebook. Okay? So let's go down to the Lord in prayer. Okay, let me say that so that we make sure everybody hears that. There is an offering plate back there as you come in, and that's the way we're going to plan to have it, an offering plate over here by the door for the regular offerings. Or you can continue to do what you've been doing, mail them in, drop them off at the church, doing it online. The other thing is today is the day that we can only take up the benevolent offering. If there is an offering you would like to give to benevolence, the offering plate on the piano is for that. Okay, so just be aware of that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, thank you so much for the time that we could be here today. Thank you for the gift of worship, and help us as we enter into worship today that we may hear you clearly. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. first seven verses that come from Psalm 17. Hear me, Lord, my plea is just. Listen to my cry. Hear my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right. Though you probe my heart, though you examine me at night and test me, you will find that I have planned no evil. My mouth has not transgressed. Though people try to bribe me, I have kept myself from the ways of violence. Through what your lips have commanded, my steps have held to your paths. My feet have not stumbled. I call on you, my Lord, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. Show me the wonders of your great love. You who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes. Let's go now to a time of prayer. And as we go to a time of prayer, let's just take a moment to pause in God's presence and let God love on us before I lead us in public prayer. So let's go now to the Lord. Lord God Almighty, we come to you in this place after 21 weeks of not being here. We come to you in this place expecting to hear you. We know, Lord, that you have guided us this whole time, that you have allowed us opportunities to worship together in different ways. And as we come today, Lord, we ask that you would help us to just settle down in your presence, to know your peace and your love, to know your guiding hand as it reaches down upon us, that we might fully understand that you are right here with us at this time especially. And Lord, as we consider who you are, we realize that you are completely and wholly different than we are. And we realize that we have not measured up at times. So we come to you today, and we express to you our failures, our sins, our errors. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to sense and know your forgiveness, that it might wash over us in a tremendous way, and that as it washes over us, that we might be able to release those things that you have already released from our presence, so that we can come into your presence in a deeper way, to hear you, to recognize you as you walk in our lives with us. Lord, thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for providing a relationship for us. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who has made all of this possible for us. Thank you for his gift of his life on the cross that gave us an atonement for our sins. Thank you for the grace and mercy that you continue to extend to us. Lord, we come to you with many concerns upon our hearts. Think about those who are sick. And we ask, Lord, that you would strengthen them, that you would bring healing to them, that you would guide them and help them, that you would be not only with them, but with their families, with the doctors and nurses and technicians that are taking care of them. We pray that you would give them wisdom and insight to know how to treat them. We pray for those that are taking treatments, those that are waiting for medications to work, those that are waiting for reports. Lord, there's so much we want to lift up to you. We think about the state of our country right now as there's a lot of civil unrest. And we pray that you would raise up someone who could truly be a manager, who could bring people to the table to talk about hurts and pains, and to talk about steps forward. We pray that you would bring some healing there. We also pray for our country and our leaders that they would have your wisdom and insight to know how to lead and guide us. And we pray, Lord, for this coronavirus, and ask that you would eradicate it from the world quickly. Lord, I know that you've heard many prayers about this, and we're waiting for your answer, that it might be gone, that all of us might be able to gather back together in worship without concern, without fear. Lord, there are so many who are fearful during this time, and we pray that you bring them comfort. There have been pandemics in the history of the church, but Lord, this is the one that we've lived through. And this is the first time we've experienced it. So we pray that you would bring us comfort and peace. We pray, Lord, now that you would also open your word to us today, that we might hear you speak very clearly to us, and that we might understand, and that we might know what you're saying to us, so that we truly can be your daughters and sons in the midst of this community in which we now live. So guide us and direct us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Oh,
this is the way that we'll have music for a while. One of the most dangerous things that most churches have found out during this time is congregational singing just spreads things quite rapidly. So it'll be a while before we get back to that. Two things I want to mention this morning before I read the scripture. The first one is I want to thank you for prayers, letters, text messages, calls, cards, all of those things during these past few weeks. As just over 2 weeks ago, I had hernia repair surgery. I'm doing well. The doctor has advised me, I know some of you will want to know this, the doctor has advised me not to run for the whole next month at least. So I'm kind of sitting inside scratching and didn't know I'm not. I have been out to walk, and after I walk about half a mile, it feels like the next day I have been doing sit-ups all day. It's just sore. But I want to thank you for your concerns and especially for your prayers, Dean, and I appreciate all of that. The other thing I wanted to mention is because some of you have already asked me this morning, I have some new socks on. They have dill pickles on them. They're a gift from my niece, who I call Pickle. She sent them for me so that I could have some nice warm socks to wear after surgery. So, and then my brother said, I bet you won't wear them to church. And I said, oh yes, I will. So if you catch sight of them and it's distracting, I'm sorry, but I had to make sure that I wore them today. I appreciate, and that's a long story. Let's just say when my niece was about 10 years old, we were out to eat somewhere. I got up from the table, and when I came back, my dill pickle was missing from my plate. And I found out she's the one that took it and ate it. So I didn't get my pickle with my sandwich that day, and that's why I've called her that ever since. Well, today we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, the first five verses. This displays to us Paul's heart. I want you to listen to Paul's heart for his people. Paul says, I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people. Those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption of sonship. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. One of the things I think that is present to us and that we understand, but sometimes we forget, is that there are people everywhere we go who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Everywhere we go, there's people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Sometimes we just totally forget that because either we're busy in the midst of what we're doing or we're continuing on in such a way that we're just not paying attention to what's going on around us. I think we forget that though. We need to remember that when we go to the grocery store, that when we go to Walmart, when we go to the post office, when we're at the gas station, there are going to be people that we meet who have never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now you see, Paul was very aware of this. Paul was aware that there were people around him that did not know. You see, the Apostle Paul knew this was true in his day, and especially true about his own people. He knew that it was true in his day. And he knew that it was especially true about his own people. And this hurt Paul's heart more than anything else. It hurt his heart that his people, who had the scriptures, who had the covenants, you see, they were favored by God in innumerable ways. And yet, they didn't know the Messiah. They were still looking for the Messiah to come. And Paul was more than aware that those around him were that way. And that even, not even did they not know the Messiah, but they had rejected the Messiah. See, Paul grew up learning all the scriptures. He grew up going to the best schools. He was probably one of the most educated people of his time. And he knew what the scripture said, and he knew what God intended for them. It took something for him to be woken up, though. Maybe you know the story about the road to Damascus. He's on the road to Damascus, and he's going to Damascus with permits, warrants, to arrest Christians, to have them imprisoned, and probably to have some of them burned at the stake, have them executed. Because in his understanding at that point in his life, they were going against the scriptures that he had learned as a child and on up into his adult years. And it's at that point that Jesus Christ comes and meets him on the road to Damascus and lets him know that he is going the wrong way spiritually. Now that Paul knows this about Jesus Christ, now that he understands about Jesus Christ, his heart hurts because he realizes that even though the people of Israel have been gifted with so many things, they've been favored by God in multiple ways, but without Jesus Christ, they are eternally lost. Without Jesus Christ, they are eternally lost. Look at all the benefits that they had. I counted them up. There's seven benefits that they had here. And then there's one additional one that means so much more. Theirs is the adoption to sonship. God has said, I will invite you into the kingdom and you will be my children. Theirs is the divine glory, Paul says. Theirs is the covenants that have been established from the beginning of time. Theirs is the receiving of the law, the Torah, the teachings, the instructions of God. Theirs is the temple worship and all the promises of God. Theirs is a great ancestry through the patriarchs. More than anything else, through them is traced the lineage of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And Paul's heart hurts. Paul's heart hurts so much that look at what he says. I want to read for you verse 3 again and listen to it very carefully. Paul says, "For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race." Do you hear what Paul's saying? Paul says, I have Christ. Paul says, I have eternal life. I have salvation. I have what God wants every person to have. And Paul says, I would prefer to be cut off from that so that others could have Christ. And if that's what it takes, that's what Paul wants. Paul says he would rather be lost eternally so that others could have salvation.
Paul says he would rather be lost eternally so that others could have salvation. The only thing I can say at this point is Paul has an incredible heart. Would you not agree with me? Paul has an incredible heart. He says, I would prefer to not have salvation. I would prefer not to have eternal life if my people, the Israelites, could have salvation. What a heart. What an absolute incredible heart. Part of me wants to say, Paul, are you sure? Paul, is that what you really want? You know what? I think maybe that's why he starts this passage by saying, I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it. More than anything else, he would prefer to be lost to Christ so that others could come to have salvation and eternal life. As I look at this, I think God's calling us to do the same thing. Have you ever thought about as you go by somebody and you realize they don't know Jesus Christ, that if they were to die, they're lost eternally? They're gone. Once they die, never to be in God's presence again. Folks, this is serious. This is one of the reasons I'm very convinced that God still leaves us here. So that we can tell other people about Jesus Christ. So that we can let them know that they can have salvation and that they can have eternal life. I am forever thankful to a man by the name of Scott Rankus who had enough courage and enough boldness to sit down with a long-haired hippie, 10 years too late to be a hippie, by the way, and shared with me about Jesus Christ. He was willing to risk me hating him. He was willing to risk me throwing him out and saying, I don't want to hear what you're going to say. And I found out later, he was willing to risk that because he cared for me. He wanted to know that I would be eternally secure. One guy on campus that was trying to push everybody away. And he stepped up and said, I'll talk to him. Folks, as you travel about, I want you to think about this. Today, you will pass by people that don't know Jesus Christ. The same will be true tomorrow. You will see people who have never trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Probably the sad thing is we'll never get them in church to tell them. We've got to go out there and tell them. Just having the doors of the church open is not going to get them here so they can hear about Jesus Christ. Just being on Facebook is not going to get them to hear about Jesus Christ. Folks, we need to develop the same kind of heart that Paul had. We need to work on developing that heart. We should develop the same heart for those around us because without Jesus Christ, they are eternally lost. without Jesus Christ, they are eternally lost. I know in the midst of our world that there are many people that are saying that truth is relative. And that what's true for me may not be true for you. I can find nowhere in the Scriptures, nowhere in the Scriptures, where it says that you can have eternal life without Jesus Christ. I can't find it. Christ even says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. That's the only way. And when we meet people that aren't acting the way we wish they would, chances are they don't know Jesus Christ. And if that's true, they're eternally lost. There's no other way I can preach this. Paul says, my heart hurts so much for these people. My heart hurts so much for these people, Paul says, that I would rather be lost so they could be saved. Do we have that kind of heart? Are we the people that have that kind of heart? I'm willing to say if we're Americans, we're in this for ourselves. The American way, the American dream. To have more boats than my neighbor is the American dream, right? To have a bigger house than my neighbor is the American dream. There's nowhere in Scripture that it says he who dies with the most toys wins. That's not Scripture. It says he who dies with Christ wins. He who dies with Christ as their Lord and Savior has eternal life and will be with Christ.